We ask, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit on us this morning and on this online gathering. Come and draw near to us, Lord. This is a day to seek your face, do some business with you that maybe has been neglected for a time. We ask that you would draw us to yourself, Lord, and that you would help us to enter into or back into a different quality of relationship with you. So come and dwell with us and help us to dwell with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. By way of introduction, this service is going to be a little bit different than what we typically have done. For one thing, there's not really going to be a sermon, at least not one of standard length. For another thing, we're going to move up the breakouts for you to participate in to share both prayer requests, but also if you've created some kind of art during the week in preparation for this time of doing business with God, we want to invite you to be able to share some of that during this time. I actually have a drawing. Maybe if there's some time a little bit later, I'll throw that up on the screen so you can see what it looks like. But it's just, you know, my drawings are not awesome. Not an artist here. But the idea is to be able to bring all of ourselves to God and allow him to have at some things. When we talk about doing business with God, at least in my mind, that is a serious business. I think of confession and repentance, of getting right with God. The goal, of course, is freedom. So it's supposed to be good news, but it can feel like a little bit of a fearful thing. But I was reminded on Tuesday that today would be Father's Day, and that we worship the one from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name. So yes, we have business to do with God, but it's not a scary, shaming business. The Lord is the one who loves us beyond imagining, and he invites us to come. We can come to him, and deep down, those of us who know him want to draw near to him. In my preparation for this week, I reflected on and read a bit more about being at the wall. Some of you will remember from the message this past week, you know, this whole idea of getting to a place in your faith where it doesn't seem like things are working so well. There's enough maybe suffering or other bad things going on that you're having trouble making sense out of some things. And the person that I was reading said that there are three choices when you get to the wall. One is to abandon your faith entirely, just to give up on God, walk away. To me, that one's kind of a non-option just for me personally. Not because I've got so much willpower, but because I can't figure out exactly how I would ever deny that God is there. For me, it would be like denying the sun or denying gravity. I don't have to like that those things are in operation, but I never really doubt that they are. So denying them just seems like nonsense to me. Second option would be to regress or to retreat. This guy talked about going back to a simpler version of your faith, where things were black and white, where things were always clear. And as I prayed, I thought that I was less likely to do that than to retreat back into a safer, more manageable kind of faith, like praying but never asking for anything. That way, I never end up disappointed. You know, taking fewer risks so that it doesn't matter quite so much whether God comes through, that sort of thing. Trying to find some way to play it safe in my faith. But whether you regress or retreat, that also would be an option to kind of move to a lesser version of your faith. And then the third option is to journey through the wall. To summon your courage, to draw deeply on your faith and allow God to lead you into a new understanding of him, a new way of living with him. And in a move that didn't make me terribly happy, this guy was reminding me that while there may be one really big wall that comes at a certain time in people's spiritual development, the wall is not a one-time experience for most of us. We run into more than one wall in our lives with God, and each time we have to learn to lean into God. So that's what I want us to do this morning. I want us to, if we're willing, to take the chance to lean into God and allow him, even if we're confused, even if we don't know what the next step is, to allow him to draw us. Is Andrea Felsman in the house yet? Andrea, if you could unmute, and this would be the time to share the prophetic word that you have, if you would.
I got this word on repentance on June 2nd, and so I'll just read a short version of it. It struck me that it is profoundly important to understand that the concept of repentance is twofold. The first being that God hates sin. His glory is so great that evil and sin cannot dwell with him, but we can because of his plan for redemption. Repentance, which is defined as turning from sin, sometimes gets confused with confession. True repentance is comprised of both confession and turning away. Turning away from something that is natural and satisfying is also difficult to do on our own strength. So, when we repent, we need to confess with an accompanied action of rejecting what is natural and satisfying. No amount of self-determined effort derived from the flesh to quench the flesh can truly help me turn from sin. The world calls this willpower. This is just me power in disguise and is merely a shadow of true power. And it sounds like this: that's the last time, no more after this. I will resist and overcome. I will not give in to that temptation, etc. We are not alone. God says in Acts 3:26, when God raised up his servant, he sent him first to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked way. The second concept of repentance that has struck me of significance is that not only does God hate sin, at the same time, he so loves his people. Repentance is a gift from God, Romans 2:4, and includes the knowledge and experience of turning away from the fallen nature of our flesh to God, who is at the end of the journey waiting for us with open arms. He becomes the goal of repentance. If we reduce repentance to the cessation of engaging in things of the flesh and not realize that there is a greater purpose, we may miss out on his intent. The Holy Spirit has shown me that the duality of repentance, hating sin while acknowledging his love, is much like a marriage. One cannot go without the other. God's holiness and righteousness is not to be forgotten. Jesus is both the lion and the lamb. He is not our BFF, which is, what is it, best friend? Forever. Which is what we see in some church cultures where sin is unspoken or, at best, watered down. In the chance that some of us are prone to beat ourselves up, become easily discouraged, or feel the unbearable weight of so often falling short, I feel like we need to remind ourselves that repentance needs to be heard within the greater context of the Father's love. In Acts 3:19, Luke summarizes this process chronologically: repent, turn to God, and receive the Lord's refreshing. Although this sounds obvious, I think it is prudent to remind ourselves of this more complete picture of repentance so that we can embrace the pruning together as a church, knowing that we are being transformed from glory to glory, one day becoming Christ's spotless bride.
Thank you, Andrea. So I mean, I think part of what I hope that you'll get from that is repentance isn't just about stopping doing certain things, right? It's about coming to a God who loves us.
Strong and great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace, the King of glory.
You're a good, good father to
We are going to enter into kind of a more personal time of doing business with God. You'll have some time later to share and pray in breakout groups, and we have a way that we want you to do that. But right now, we want to give you some space to connect with God directly. So I hope that you've had some time this week to kind of examine your own heart, reflect on kind of where you are in your spiritual journey with God. No shame in that. We are wherever we are, but the goal is to be able to bring who and what we are now to be able to bring all of that to God. And so we're going to have a chance to do that right now. I'm gonna share one scripture, and then we're going to have a few minutes for you to do some business. For those of you who are extroverts, the silence is going to feel like forever. I promise you, it will not be forever. We'll have a timer going and everything. But yeah, to take some time to process where things are at with God right now. I'm going to share my screen just for a moment. So this is a piece of art that I created this week. When I was thinking about kind of where I am today and some of the impediments between me and God. I'm not gonna spend a lot of time explaining them. I'll do that in my breakout group, but you know, some of you may be able to read and interpret some of what's going on there that's been weighing on me and things that I need to be able to bring to God. And so there are ways that I've kind of kept God at arm's length, or in some cases reacted badly to things that God has allowed. And I want to bring all of that to him right now, and I want to encourage you to do the same. So let's take the next not quite 5 minutes to do some business with God. And I suggest that you consider, you know, bringing your art to God, changing your physical position. I've got a mat here. I'm going to lay out and kneel down on the floor because it puts me in a different heart and head space. But whatever helps you to do business with God, let's do that right now. And then I'll bring us back together in a bit. Father, as we enter into this time, draw near to us and help us to draw near to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God's word says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, thank you that in any of those places where we're able to acknowledge that we've gone off the rails, that we've not done right, that your forgiveness, that your grace is not only available, it is waiting for us. And that your desire is that we would be reconciled to you and to one another. And so I pray, Lord, that you would help us to lean into that, to receive the fact that we are not condemned, that we are not under condemnation, but that we have been won, possessed by Jesus, and that we can be filled with his Spirit and released into freedom. And so I pray that over this congregation, Lord, that for all the things that were confessed, all of the things that we can own up to, all the things that we have renounced in Jesus' name, I declare, Lord, that we are free, that we are no longer under the weight of those things, and we break them off in Jesus' name. Thank you that you came to set the captives free. And so I pray that we would live in freedom in Jesus' name. Amen.
To my prayer in the harvest, when favor and providence flow. I know I'm filled to be emptied again. The seed I've received, I will sow. 'Cause there is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus.
We are going to enter into a time of large group prayer right now. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to call out different groups of people who might want to get prayed for. And we have recruited prayer team members who will pray in pairs for each grouping of people. So what I want you to do right now, if you can, is look on the bottom of your Zoom screen, and you should see some icons down there. The one, at least on my screen, it's the far right. It says reactions. And if you click on it, you can see that your reaction could be to give the thumbs up. And so if we were in the physical church building, what we would ask you to do is to stand up at this point, if you wanted to get prayed for, and then, you know, we'll have the people come and pray. What we're going to do this morning is you can give me the thumbs up. So if I, you know, if I call out a particular grouping of people and you think that that's you and you would like to be prayed for, then just give me the thumbs up, kind of like that. And then our prayer ministers will come and pray for that grouping of people. So there are multiple groupings of people, five to be precise. You may be in more than one of these groups, and some of them you don't really choose into, but some of them you do choose into. So the first group is going to be prayed for by Mary Jane and Kai. So Mary Jane and Kai, if you're in the house, you're about to be up. And we want to pray for those who have been spiritually heavy, people who during this last season have felt like they're struggling, possibly with loneliness or isolation, or with relational upheaval. So, you know, either you've been in a house stuck with people, and that can put pressure on, or maybe you live alone and you haven't gotten to see anybody. But whether it's one of those things or you've been struggling in life with God, if you could give me the thumbs up now, Mary Jane and Kai will come and pray for this group of people. So Mary Jane, whenever you're ready, go ahead and unmute your mic and you can begin praying.
I'll say a prayer in my language. There are always two roads. There are always two choices. Ahinushtu akwashkwend. Show me which one to take. Do I go to the left? Inchuku eksh. Do I go to the right? Hinushtu akwashkwend. Ola kupi, Father God, we just give you thanks for this opportunity to lift up prayers. When we pray, we enter into a covenant and a contract so that you hear us and that you begin your power, your process, your planning and purposing for those prayers. And so today we just join together in a group and lift up what's on our hearts, our minds, our spirits, the heaviness, the burdens, and we give them over to you. And we ask you to make an exchange with us, that you would cover all who are feeling burdened and heavy, that you would cover that and bring joy, bring lightness, bring your answers, bring your solutions to whatever the problem, the struggle is, because you have a purpose and a plan. You have miracles waiting for your people who pray. And so we dedicate that to you today in Jesus' powerful name. And we say thank you, HaChkasiyam, hope.
Holy Father, in Romans 16:20 talks about the God of peace crushing the enemy underfoot. Father, we ask for more infilling of your peace in tangible ways, that with your peace and standing in your presence, looking upon you, we can crush the enemy underfoot, Father. May we unveil the authority that we have and the invitation that you have for us to step further into where you are taking us, Father, so that these times where we are feeling heavy, overwhelmed, without hope or without help or without support, or feeling lonely and not able to cry out perhaps in ways that we want, we ask for your presence to seep into our innermost being, permeate into the cells of our being, and we ask that as you bless us, because we know you are constantly blessing us, that we will see that and we will feel that, and that your joy too will be very present. It is time. It is a time of breakthrough. Show us your redemption, your redemption that you have for us. Show us what you have instead of the loneliness, instead of the heaviness. And may we only keep our eyes focused on that. The waves are high and crashing. The storm is fierce. Every time that we lose our gaze, may we not dwell on it. May we just look up and grab your hand again and lead us. Lead us across the water. Lead us into your hope, renewed hope and renewed strength, so that we can go back and help others as well.
Lord God, we commit our brothers and sisters to you, these who have struggled in relationship with you have felt the weight of isolation and loneliness or estrangement. Lord God, pour out your spirit and fill in the deficits. It's not possible in our strength, but in your strength, everything is possible. So we commit ourselves to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. The next grouping of people is those people in need of a job or financial provision. So fairly simple. We're in one of the worst economies in my lifetime right now. And this is an expensive city. So if you are in need of a job, if you are in need of financial provision, if you could give us the thumbs up. And also, I'm realizing as we get prayed for, people would stand if they want to be prayed for. That might help you kind of engage with God as you're getting prayed for. So the people that are going to pray for this particular grouping of people, so I'm going to give the thumbs up because we could use that right now, are Kim and me. So Kim, go ahead and unmute, and then I will follow you.
Heavenly Father, who made us in your image, who intended us for creative work, we ask that you would look with love on those among us who are unemployed or underemployed. We come to you with love and concern. We remember before you those who suffer want and have anxiety from a lack of work and a lack of financial resources. We ask you would help us together as a church enjoy our life together. Those without and those who have wealth and work, and to understand what kind of help that we need to give one another, whether in paid employment or not. We ask that you would guide the political leaders of our country, the business leaders, and all those who employ others, that they may make wise decisions that will benefit us all. We ask that you would guide us, the people of this land, that we may use our public and private wealth so that all may find suitable and fulfilling employment and receive a just payment for their labor. And finally, we ask you, Lord, to guide us. Guide us to be sure in the knowledge of your redeeming love, that that alone gives us dignity and value through your grace and mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And help us to receive this affirmation of your love in spite of our vocational needs, in spite of our financial distress, that that does not determine our worth. Help us to grow in faith, in confidence, that you will be faithful to your promises. And we pray that you would help us remain hopeful to the end, that in Christ our lives will be filled to fullness with joy and with life everlasting. Amen.
Lord God, I want to pray for the psychological, sort of emotional and spiritual impact that not having work and not having enough resources has on us. I pray, Lord, that you would break the power of condemnation, that you break the power of accusation and discouragement, in our lives. I pray, Lord, that none of this would keep us from coming to you. Lord God, you are the one who provides for every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Your name is Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides for us. And so I ask, Lord, that that you would provide, that you would provide both resources and a sustainable way to live. The work is important, and having something fruitful to give ourselves to is important. And so I pray for new opportunities. I pray that you would open doors to job opportunities and positions that we haven't seen up to this point. I pray that you would help us to be generous with one another, Lord, sharing what you have provided. Thank you that your desire is that every person would have enough. The miracle of the manna in the wilderness was that everybody had what they needed. Those who had too much sharing with those who didn't have enough. So we ask, Lord, that you would do that kind of miracle among us as well. Thank you that you are generous, that you are making a way for us, even when there is no way. We commit our brothers and sisters to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. The next grouping of people are gonna be prayed for by Tony and Judy Vick. So Tony and Judy, you can be getting ready. This is the group of people who need healing or deliverance. So if you have a physical need, a sickness, an injury, an ongoing condition, and would like to be prayed for healing, if you could give the thumbs up, that would be great. Also, if you have a need for deliverance, if you've been struggling with a problem that hasn't let go of you, this would be a great time to have somebody break that off of you in Jesus' name. So there really is power in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to turn it over to Tony and Judy.
Before we can pray for healing and deliverance, we must know who we are in Christ. That comes from knowing and believing his word. We are God's children, and he has given us authority to act with and for him in the earth. In Matthew 10:1, Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. So Father God, I ask you to anoint those at Redemption Church with an anointing for healing. I ask you to release words of knowledge to them and empower them for healing. May the power of your Holy Spirit come upon them, and may it flow into them and then out of them into the people they will pray for in the future. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, that you speak to us and we can hear the voice of the Spirit and then obey it, and for we are God's co-workers. Amen.
Amen. And as for deliverance, in the spiritual realm, there are captives and prisoners. Captives are those who fall into demonic traps. We have authority to set captives free. We're his church. We have that authority. Prisoners, on the other hand, are those whom God has imprisoned because they will not forgive. When they repent and forgive, we can escort them out of their prison. Father God, your word says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we surrender to you alone to take our stand against the powers and principalities that wreak havoc in this fallen world. In Jesus' name, we declare freedom to those who are oppressed and harassed by forces of evil. We command every spirit that's not of God to cease your function in our midst. You have no place in us. We bind you in Jesus' powerful name. for prisoners, those who need to forgive. There's a story about a wicked servant who refused to forgive. Jesus warned us about unforgiveness. His Lord cast that servant into prison. And Jesus said, "My heavenly Father will do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." Notice that God put him in the prison. Our good, good Father, give us your grace and love to persuade people to release their unforgiveness so that they can be set free. And there are those of us who have drifted into a prison of dead religion. So let me just pray about that one. Abba, Father, you promised that we would seek you and find you when we seek you with all our hearts. Forgive us for giving you second place in our lives. Give us a hunger to seek you with all of our heart. Help us to exercise the self-discipline you've given us to seek you in all that we do, not just Sunday mornings and life group meetings. And let us exude your joy that is our strength. Let us be that kind of influence in the world that just draws people to Jesus. Pray in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen.
Lord Jesus, you are the healer. You did it when you walked the earth, healing the sick and delivering people from the things that oppressed them over and over and over again as a preview of what is to come. And so, Lord God, do it again for these, our brothers and sisters. Heal their bodies, break the power of evil in their lives, deliver them into the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. In Jesus' name, amen. The next group of people that are going to be prayed for are going to be prayed for by Carol Lee and Michelle, so you can be getting ready. This is for the children and for other groupings of people within the church, so whomever you can think of, or however God leads you to pray this morning. Could be children, seniors, young adults, fathers, whomever. So as you feel led, go ahead and pray. Carol Lee, you're up.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for our seniors, Lord, because over the years, Lord, they have proved you and their faith has grown and they've developed patience and wisdom, Lord. And Father, I thank you that this is gifts that you've put in them. Mm-hmm. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless them, Lord, and remove any fear from them of this virus that's going around and renew their strength, Lord, like an eagle's. And Father, I pray for the little children, Lord, with their boundless energy, Lord, that gives us hope and gives us a brighter day, Lord. And they have so many questions and so many bright answers, Lord. And Father, they are the ones that you said, let them come to me. Father, I ask that you would unite in our church, this group, of seniors and little children, Lord, so that they could minister to each other, Lord. And Lord, seniors and grandpas and grandmas don't judge little children the way parents do. And children aren't afraid of them, Lord, because they don't think they're going to be disciplined the same as their parents. So Father, I ask that you would bring these groups together. And Lord, I pray for the marrieds and the singles, Lord, the singles who are afraid maybe that you're never going to send somebody their way, or they're lonely, or they're afraid that they won't have enough on their own. Father, you are their provision. And I pray for the married couples who are an example for us of how Christ is married to us. And Lord, they can be such a good example. But right now, Lord, where we're all home all the time, it can put a strain on a marriage. So, Father, I ask for grace and mercy. And, Lord, I would like to pray for all of those together. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord is your God, and he's in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness, and he will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Father, this morning, sing over those groups and give them peace in Jesus' name.
I agree with those prayers, and I'd like to lift up young adults and youth. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? Lord God, we ask that you would bless their efforts to live according to your word, to seek you with all their hearts, to not stray from your commands. Lord, bless them, help them, encourage them to hide your word in their heart that they might not sin against you. Bless their efforts to praise you, Lord God. Teach them your decrees. Help them to recount on their lips all the things that you have taught them, all the things that come from your mouth, Lord. Help them to rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. Lord, help them to know the wealth of your word, the truth, the power. Help them to meditate on your precepts and to consider your ways. Help them to truly delight in your word, your law, your ways. And help them not to neglect your word. The scriptures say, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? And this is what you said. But Lord, we know that age doesn't matter. That if any person applies these things, Lord God, that we would stay on the path to purity. I lift up fathers to you right now. I ask for your mercy upon them because so much weight is put upon them. Lord, we ask that they would remember they are your little children too, that they are your sons, that they would receive forgiveness, that their eyes would be upon you, and that when they look at their children, that they would see them the way that you do. Lord, we ask that you would bless the relationship of the father to the children, of the children to the Father, that you bring healing and wholeness, strength and wisdom, mercy and forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.
The last grouping of people we're going to pray for before the breakouts is in light of the recent reduction of hours for all three of our pastors, I'm going to ask that we would pray both for the pastors, but also for our congregation. It's gonna have some implications in how we do our business in the church. And there may be things that have to be done differently or maybe not at all for a time. And so at this point, I'd like to invite Monica and Laura to come and pray both for the pastoral staff and for the congregation.
I'm praying from Isaiah 30, verses 18 to 22. Thank you, Lord, that as we come to you, you show us that you are gracious and compassionate and faithful. Thank you that you respond to the sound of our cries. Thank you that though we have been eating adversity for food and suffering for drink in so many different ways, you are still with us, teaching us. Thank you that as we listen, we will hear your voice behind us, telling us which way to go. Then we will destroy our idols and throw them away like filthy rags. Father, thank you for my family that is called Redemption Church. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the pastors, Barry, Kim, and Michelle, and their gifts that you've given us for such a time as this. Holy Spirit, I pray that you increase their hunger and thirst for you, that with the reduced work hours, the gift of time would be theirs for the purpose of seeking after you and listening to your direction. Give them discernment and wise boundaries in managing their time. And Lord, help us as their brothers and sisters to step up and shoulder some of the weight and the gaps that are created with the reduced hours. God, we are yours. Your kingdom come, your will be done in us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, thank you that we can know and trust that your ways are higher than our ways, and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Thank you that we have leaders we can trust, that you have put them in place for this time, for such a time as this. God, we thank you for them and for their families. So God, we give them to you and their family. And we ask that you would bless them in this time. And we ask that you would show us how we as a body can be a blessing to our pastors. In Jesus' name, amen.